step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I like my women like I like my
periodic table.
Periodic tables. I like my women like I like my periodic tables with some bad elements.
Pocket party.
You guys yell out something. Let's improvise. Here we go. Give me a word and I like a rap. I like my women like I like my
penis.
You can tell a lot about the audience, right? That dude's been waiting on this all night. He's like, I just can't wait till I have an opportunity. Yell out penis. I like my women like I like my penis. White. The next to the I like my women like I like my
herpes.
Was it the penis guy? Or how about somebody like in the first row to the third row? We got a...
Everybody listen to Derek Carter. Yeah. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to a Pocket Party. Pocket Party. Durant.
We're back, everybody. Another episode of the Pocket Party Podcast. If you are in the San Francisco Bay Area, February 7th, I will be at the Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley. Mill Valley, Throckmorton Theater, February 7th. I hope to see you. It'll be great to see my Bay Area fans again. And here on the line, we have Mr. Mike Black.
Hello.
Hello, Mike Black. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How's it going?
It's going good, man. We started the show a little later today. Are you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed?
Never. I've never been either of those things.
Bright-eyed.
On the day I was born, I was exhausted from... I was like, no, that took a lot out of me.
You're like, ugh, 9 months.
I was up all night the night before.
Yeah. You're like the one baby that... You're like, I took 10 months to come out. Come on already.
Ugh. Yeah. The neighbor next door was playing heavy metal or something, and I was like, keep it down.
Keep it to neighbor. That was my twin brother. No.
Yeah.
I remember when we got the ultrasound with my son Austin. My wife, she goes, I remember you had the biggest grin on your face because, you know, when they did the ultrasound, that the day that they tell you what the sex of the baby's going to be, and he was giving us all the vitals and all the, you know, the important information. He goes, here's the heart, here's the, you know, this. And he goes, and then let's look at the limbs. Everything looks healthy. Everything's okay. And he goes, here, I think the way I remember it, it was something like, here's the left leg and here's the right leg and... In the middle, there's another leg. And it kind of took me a second to be like, what does he mean? And then my wife goes, oh, it's a boy. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Wow. Like, you know, like, yeah. because it's it took me a second or a half a second to realize, like, what does he mean a third leg? What does that mean? And I was like, oh, yeah. The doctor's doing shtick here. Okay, I didn't get it.
The doctor's like, this guy's a comedian.
What? I know exactly. Yeah, I know. I was like, I like my women like I like my. Come on, give me one of those, doctor. Don't try. Yeah. Don't go off the reservation here. Come on, stick to the plan, dude. The script. No.
Yeah. After he sees your act, he's like, that doesn't make any sense. Why didn't he understand?
Yeah, I don't get it. This guy's, you think he would know comedy? I was like, that was a really funny way to do that. But, oh man. Yeah, I do remember. It's so funny. I don't know what made me think of that. That time of my life also with, I was thinking about this the other day when my wife announced that she was pregnant, when she told me, when she broke the news, it was, I remember that it was just like a typical day, you know, how you're doing your thing and I remember I was out at the high school track, and that's where we were going to meet up and exercise and go up and down the bleachers and get a little sunshine. And for some reason I was just fantasizing about it. Back then that was when those motorcycle shows were all popular. Remember with how they'd trick them all out and yeah. What was it called?
What year would this have been?
This would have been 2000. He was born in 2007, so this was 2007.
So like Pimp My Ride sort of shows.
Yeah, I think it was called like West Coast Choppers
It's with the guys that all look like Hell's Angels.
But yeah, like the father son thing, you know, and
they all look like they were related to Sam Elliott.
Exactly. And I don't even have a motorcycle. I'm not even, you know, that interested in owning one or whatever, but I thought they looked cool. And I remember that was just like the trend. That was what was happening back then.
Sure.
You know,
but you could have.
I could have, right? Exactly. You know, Tahoe Joe.
Tahoe Joe would have definitely had a motorcycle.
Tahoe Joe rides again.
There's no way you wouldn't have had a cool handlebar mustache. And you probably would have been on a first name basis with the chopper guys.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know those guys. It's like just how comedians all know each other. Yeah.
You come in there, hey Tahoe, you know.
Hey Tahoe, how's Elvin? How's your father? How's your pops? Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a whole different scene.
You know, because before I
that would have been like your eighth baby at that point.
Oh yeah, this would have been like, oh, you again? No,
yeah.
I would not even have recognized the mother. Who are you? Well, I'm a dad again. Okay,
you would have also immediately gotten the joke on the third leg thing. Yeah, Doc, you got me again.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, at that point, I probably would have been a grandpa. You know, like You know, there's all those guys. Have you ever met someone that's like a 34? I remember I met a guy that was 34, and he was a grandpa. I was like, what?
I've met comedians that are like, you know, they're already granddads and stuff. It's like, wow.
Yeah, that makes you feel old, because you're like, dude, we're like the same age. You're a grandpa and we're like both 37. Like, this is crazy. Yeah. I'm not even a dad yet. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
yeah, they're like, well, I got laid a lot more than you did.
Exactly. Well. Yeah.
Fair enough.
How does that work exactly?
I was busy learning about like 20-sided die, and, you know, how to build a fantasy character for a D&D game.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, we have different priorities. By the way, that reminds me of a friend. I asked him, I go, would you rather
have my archer is half elf? You know, like,
yeah. I asked a buddy the other night, I go, would you rather have a million TikTok followers or a million YouTube subscribers? And he said, I'd rather have $1 million in my pocket.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, yeah, okay. So yeah, back to this motorcycle. I was picturing, for some reason, I was just out there. I was, you know, I was walking around kind of warming up, and I was like, and this is pre Darren Carter, the party starter. I mean, I think I was doing it, but not like all in like I am now.
Right.
And back then it was more
like, you hadn't printed up stickers yet.
Right. Now I'm all in. The sticker makes it legit. It's official, guys. I am the official party starter.
And that to me is when a comedian is fully behind a bit, when they've printed up stickers for it. Any sort of merch means you've committed to it, you know?
Totally. Which reminds me of my first business card. I remember I put comedian, high energy, turbo powered. And I drew a stick figure, like a caricature of myself, and I put phone, and then I just left a blank line because I knew I was going to be moving a lot.
Wow.
And that was back when we had landlines, you know, so.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll just put the phone number. I'll just give me a big pen.
I'm just going to put my phone number and my Friendster profile thing on here.
Exactly. Oh, that was even before then. It was like.
Yeah.
That was back when I was way too honest on my resumes and bio. I was like, I remember I sent a resume and this lady started laughing. She's like, you got to change this. Because I was from Fresno, and this is when I moved to the Bay Area, and I still had my Fresno morals or whatever, entertainment morals. Like, I was like, no, I came in third. I'm going to put third. Like, I put, like, third place in Fresno's funniest comedy competition.
Oh, yeah, I did that. I was, like, a semi-finalist in a Comedy Central Laugh Riots thing, and I was like, that's a credit. No, it's not, idiot.
Yeah, exactly. I would put like third place this, Fresno's funniest. Second place, I actually put almost open for George Carlin, which was true. I felt like I got robbed in the contest. The winner got to open for him, and I came in second. And I was like, well, he just won because he's a guitar act and brought a bunch of friends. But yeah, they don't want to.
If you had actually written all of that on your resume, that would have been great.
That would have been great. Yeah, that would have been. I mean, this guy was so. Anyways, I don't want to like bash some open micer from the 80s, but yeah, you get the idea.
I totally get the. I was like, yeah, that guy was just handsome. He wasn't funny. It was like the judges were just all into him.
Oh, yeah. He used to do. I better not even say this, what he used to do. He used to do something.
I'll start
that
talking about my guy, and then we'll like upset two open micers from.
Yeah. The Bitter Podcast. It starts out with joy. The day that I found out I was a father, and it ends with that frickin' open micer. Can you believe this guitar hack? He used to take a wig and all right. So, anyways, yeah.
And another thing about these guys with props,
yeah. You know, they used to pay off the audience members so they could win. But yeah. So I was picturing this motorcycle, and that was when a lot of the audience knew me as Rooster. Hey, what's up, Rooster? And for some reason, I got this visual of the kickstand on the motorcycle being a rooster claw.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I could have the rooster claw kickstand in the motorcycle, the gas tank, everything could be like this rooster theme, you know? And and it could be like pinstriped and have like this cool signature. And maybe. And I just started going through it like in my mind. I'm just and then my wife shows up. And I was getting ready to tell her this great idea that I had.
And
I remember she just let me go on and on, like telling her about this idea. And then she couldn't wait till I stopped talking. And then she told me the news. And I was like, why did you even? This is, wait, what? You should have just cut me off. Like, who cares about my fantasy of the stupid mom? I could not believe it. I was like, what? That's when you know you're.
Wow.
You're at the right time in your life. Because if you get news that your girl's pregnant when you're not ready, like when you're in your teens or early 20s, or you're just not, it's like that would be, that news might, you know, totally, it might be terrible,
totally
news for you,
change,
you know?
Your life. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it changes your life either way, but this is like, because I didn't even think. I was like, really, are you serious? And all of a sudden I was like, it just like that, I was like picturing myself like I'm gonna be a dad, like, but I liked it though.
Yeah.
And I remember there was some.
And thank God, too.
Yes. Yeah. Thank God.
If that hadn't happened and you'd gotten the rooster motorcycle.
Exactly.
Holy shit.
I know. And I remember there was this. Hold on.
Why doesn't anyone take me seriously in comedy?
I know, exactly. Yeah. I start pulling up to the comedy store in the rooster motorcycle.
Yeah. Like, he's the guy with the cock helmet? Is that the guy you're talking about? Yeah. Yeah. Rooster. Holy shit.
Okay. I'm going to look up this lyrics to this one song. Never going to feel. Okay, hold on. Because I remember this was a popular song in the country world by Kenny Chesney.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with Kenny Chesney?
I'm aware that there is a Kenny Chesney.
Yeah, he's like short, bald, wears a cowboy hat, and chicks think he's like really attractive and they're into him and stuff.
Oh, and he like flips around on a bungee cord.
Probably, he's pretty
short. For the audience.
One, it's funny. One time I had a ball cap.
He did another album where he was all goth, and he called himself Chris Gaines.
Oh no, that's Garth Brooks. Well, I've got friends in low places.
They're not all the same guy?
No, they're not. They they're not. They're two different guys.
Garth Brooks is Kenny Chesney, and then he's Chris Gaines sometimes.
And he's like, yeah.
And every once in a while, he's like a pro wrestler.
There's the
Undertaker.
There's Johnny Cash, and there's everyone else.
Right. Yeah. And Garth Brooks is all the other guys.
Yeah. By the way, I saw Garth Brooks once in concert. He was amazing, man. Like he did six sold out shows at Staples Center back when it was Staples in downtown LA, and the money all went to like the California firefighters because we were having all those fires that year. And yeah. Personable.
I've heard he's amazing, but he does do like. The one thing that sticks in my mind is he would play his guitar, but he would get on like a bungee cord and like fly out over the
audience. Oh, yeah. I've seen that. Oh, yeah. Garth. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that's fucking nuts, but it's great, you know?
Yeah, he's great, man. I remember one of the highlights of that concert for me. You know, when they do the encore and they go off, you walk downstairs.
Did he do the Bruce Springsteen thing where he calls you up on stage to dance with him?
He did, not me, but he did do something like that. I know. He goes downstairs, like he goes to the basement or like underneath the stage and the crowd's like, yeah, Garth, we want Garth.
He's underneath us right now.
Exactly. He's out here. Everyone look under your seat. He could be down here. Yeah. And they're like, Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks, whatever we're all chanting at the time. And then he emerges about 2 minutes later, and there was a young lady. She had like the yellow windbreaker that said event on it.
Uh-huh.
And the whole crowd gets quiet, and he goes, hey, everybody. He goes, I brought a friend with me. And the crowd's like, ah. And he goes, her name is Jennifer. And the crowd's like, yeah. And she goes, Garth, what's it like when you've got 25,000 people yelling your name? And the crowd's like, ah. And he goes, well, you're about to find out. Come on, Jennifer. And the crowd's like, yeah. He goes, on the count of three, everyone say her. And the people's like, Jennifer, Jennifer. It was like such a goosebump moment. It was like, oh my gosh, like this is amazing. Like that was really cool. There was another.
Wait, Jennifer wasn't famous at all?
No, she was just some random security girl.
Lady.
She was backstage like, what's it like when everyone yells your name? And you're about to find out, you know.
That's hilarious and awesome. Yeah,
He did that, it was just like, whoa. Here's another moment.
Did they show Jennifer like on the Jumbotron?
Oh, yeah. He brought her back up and she's on stage with him. And people are wondering who this girl is with the yellow, you know, Eventbrite shirt or event security guard shirt or whatever. I was like, this is Jennifer or whatever her name was. And another cool thing is he's playing the song. I love when they do this. He's playing a song and then they throw a pick to a fan, you know, or they hand it to a fan.
Yeah.
He hands a pick to a fan. And then he does it. Then he hands a pick to someone next to them, and the crowd's going, "Oh my gosh, that's so cool! Like, I wish that was me," you know. And then he takes his guitar off over his head and hands them the entire guitar, and the crowd's like, "Whoa!" And then the music stops, and he goes, "Let me tell you what just happened." And the crowd's like, you know, they're ah, and he goes, "I saw a sign that said, Garth, we came all the way from Albuquerque. I'm with my mom," or whatever, blah, blah, blah. We've seen you, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I thought, well, let me give them a guitar pick, something to take home to get, you know, back to Albuquerque. And I thought, well, if that's her mom, let me give her mom a guitar pick. And then he pauses for comic timing, and he goes, and then I thought, let me give him something that's hard to get home on the airplane. And the crowd's like, ah! It's like, and he goes, well, folks, show's over. No more guitar. You know, he makes a little joke. And then, and then they hand him another guitar, and then the concert's, and then the same song, he picks up right where he left off. And I'm like, man, that's so cool. Like this, he's making this room, this giant Staples Center look like it's just a living room or something, or the OR at the Comedy Store. It was pretty amazing to see.
That made me think the next time I do comedy, I'm going to just give the person in the front row the rest of my drink.
Yeah, and then give a backup drink to the person next to them. And let me give him a drink. Let me give her a drink. Now let me give them five shots, something they can't take home.
Or just grab a couple ice cubes out of there and just mush it on their face. There you go. I bet you're wondering what it feels like to have your name shouted out by eight people that are too drunk to leave. Well, you're about to find out.
At the midnight. Yay! Mike Black. Mike Black.
Yeah.
We should practice that. We should say goodnight when the star comes on and the piano starts playing, walk off, and then go back up there like it was, all right, I got a couple more bits up my sleeve.
Yes. Well, no more napkin, no more show. All my bits were on that napkin.
Dude, I did a show, and this guy was giving out T-shirts. Like, he's a comic that's up and coming, we'll say. And he's giving out, he gave out three T-shirts. And I'm thinking, and it was, a random show. And I'm like, I wonder how much that cost this guy. At least he gave out 3 to 5 shirts, every show.
It's unless they were, super, super high quality, it's a good investment.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about that when he did that. And then I did hear a guy kind
of... It's probably, if he got a bunch of them printed up, they probably ran about $7 per product cost,
So it's okay, every time I do a show, I'm giving out $21 to $28 worth of merch. But
he's hoping
he's hoping it's going to promote and come back.
He can write it off.
There was a guy in the audience that goes like this. He goes, because he was kind of laughing. He goes, hey, this is a medium. Do you have anything? Because I guess he didn't really think about the sizes. He's just
Yeah, the smart thing to do would be do a one size fits all, which are extra large. But, you can just hand out random ones. The other thing, and this is probably what he was doing, is handing out whichever size isn't selling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's probably trying to sell them, and he thought, no one really wants this, so let me just give it away.
Yeah, well, if he gives them away, it's a walking billboard. It's tax deductible. It's going to cost him very, very little if he was smart about getting them produced. And let's say you're paid $15.
Yeah.
And you lose $7 on a shirt, on just throwing a shirt out to someone. People, there really is no way to estimate how much people love free stuff. Mm. And especially free T-shirts. They'll do just about anything for them,
Yeah, it's...
You go to a game and they have those T-shirt cannons, true. People lose their minds. And it's nothing, it's not a big deal.
It's funny, most of my workout clothes, I'd say almost every workout clothes, it's a free shirt. It's a free T-shirt
right.
that I was given.
And every once in a while, someone, where'd you get that? Or who is that? Or, they'll strike up a conversation, and next thing you know, you're advertising for that.
That's true. So, that is true. There's a lot of photos with the...
So he loses absolutely nothing by doing that, really. It's a pretty smart thing to do.
Let me tell you these lyrics, okay? From Kenny Chesney. So, because I remember she told me about it, and I drove
home. Now, Kenny Chesney, does he have a T-shirt?
No, he's like...
People buy a Kenny Chesney T-shirt if they want?
He was the guy that was married to the actress for about a day. It literally was, hardly any time.
Oh, long. Julia Roberts.
No, that was that other guy. He was known as sort of an ugly guy. No offense to if he's listening. What was that guy's name?
That Garth guy. Brooks.
No. You're right. Julia Roberts was married. Can I look it up? I'm going to look it up.
Look, Garth Brooks.
No, Julia Roberts.
Chris Gaines.
Julia.
He was the Undertaker. And he was married to Julia Roberts. Everyone knows the story of Garth Brooks.
No, this is a Lyle Lovett. Lyle Lovett.
Lyle Lovett. That's his other alias.
No, eyebrows raised when Pretty Woman star Julia Roberts married the loose-jointed country singer Lyle Lovett.
Loose-jointed?
I don't know what that means. Loose-jointed, laconic country singer.
He was kind of mushy.
They describe him as a peculiar-looking guy.
Yeah.
Getting the Hollywood beauty.
for context, I think her previous husband was Kiefer Sutherland. So she's into weirdos, just generally speaking. Kiefer Sutherland is not a bad musician in his own right. There's a documentary, I think it's called I Dare You to Kill Me, where he was working on 24 and he fell in love with this band, this rock band, and wanted to go around promoting them.
Really?
He was like, I'm going to do that during the off time for 24. And so he did this documentary and he got real drunk and he attacked a Christmas tree.
No.
And like knocked it over. But the best part was he really got into it. He was earnestly trying to promote this band and he was handing out flyers for the band, you know, like for a concert they were doing.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, here, come see this band, come see this band. And this guy goes, these two drunk guys come by and he's like, oh, here, take one of our flyers to see this band. And the guy goes, I don't want your dumb flyer, Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, shit.
And just keeps walking. He goes, oh, okay. He's Canadian, so he's not, he didn't get mad about it or anything.
Yeah.
But the guy's friend comes back and he goes, dude, I'm sorry, my buddy's drunk. I'm sorry he called you Kiefer Sutherland. He was like, I am Kiefer Sutherland. He was like, what? He's like, no, it's okay. He goes, oh, what are you doing handing out flyers? He was like, I just really like this band. And the guy was like, okay.
That would be weird.
That would be a lot for a drunk person to process. You know?
Yeah, totally. Like, what's going on? You're a flyer guy? You're passing out?
Yeah.
A bringer show? Well, what's going on here?
Yeah, but it's an interesting documentary if you ever get bored. Want to check it out?
So my wife announces. She tells me. No, I wouldn't say announce. She's like. She tells me she's pregnant. I couldn't believe it. I was on cloud nine. I was so. And I remember I had driven to the track. So I'm driving by myself and I'm listening to this country station. And this song comes on and it just hit me. That was the first time, like lyrics really hit you in a different way once you become a parent or, you know, some kind of thing happens, right? You fall in love. You know, when you fall in love, like you hear, you know, you fall in love, the world's in love. You're like, you see couples, you hear songs, every movie. And then when you break up, you're like, everyone's together and I'm alone. And songs, it was that same sort of thing. But
yeah,
finding out I'm going to be a father. And there's this one lyric. I love this lyrics right here. It's at the end of the song. By the way, the name of the song is I'm never going to feel like this again.
And, okay.
And he goes, should I try to sing it or should I just talk it?
I think you should try to sing it.
Okay, if I can remember the melody. Here we go. I got a call one July day. Cindy Lou was in that way. Had a big decision to make and I couldn't take it lightly. First I thought of leaving town, but I couldn't let our families down. Now I'm out here throwing this ball around with a boy that looks just like me. That's it right there.
Wow.
Goosebumps?
In a manner of speaking. it's hard to believe that Austin Baseboss is related to you.
Exactly. I'll say that. Austin Baseboss. I know he probably told me, Dad, you're off key. That's the wrong melody. You're not even. The song's in C major. You sing it in D flat. And
no, but it's. I get the lyrics. The lyrics are terrific.
It's so good, right? When it goes, now I'm out here throwing this ball around with the boy that looks just like me. It's like, man. And I remember for a long time, I was like, wow, he and I didn't really play catch. It was like, I'm like, man, I'm not really throwing this ball back and forth with this kid, but we do other things. So it's like, there you go.
That's
you
know? The important part. It's not the throwing the ball around. It's the spending time together.
Yeah.
You know, if it's karate, if it's go-karts,
yeah.
You know,
that song is great though, man, about never want get you. You're never going to, basically each thing that happens in your life, you're never going to feel that way again. So take that moment, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody, one of my boxing coaches posted something today. I thought it was really touching. Like enjoy each moment because time is like a river, and as it flows by, you can try to grab it, but it's going to keep moving. So you got to enjoy that moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Be present.
Be present. I know sometimes I'm not present, and I try to tell myself, like, you know, make a note, because later today, be present. But right now, you don't have to be. Yeah. No, it is great to be present. I'm present right now. What am I doing? I'm looking out at the sun, and after this podcast, I will think to the future. I want to get outside in that hot sun, and I mean, it looks hot, at least from where I'm at, but I know what I wanted to tell you. I got the opportunity to do the Adam Carolla show.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's great, man. It was one of those.
Now, he's one of the biggest country singers in the world.
Come on down. It's the Ace Man. We got Adam Carolla. No, it was great. It's one of the. It's a show that I've listened to for years. I've listened to Adam and Drew with Dr. Drew, Adam and Mark Garagos,
yeah.
Adam Carolla, of course, the Loveline days.
Lovelines, yeah.
You know, and
the Man Show when he was on
the Man Show. And it's funny. I'd been listening to his show recently, and not even thinking about being a guest or even being on there. But I was just, you know, I love that show. And he's like a. Here's the thing. When I listen to Adam, he's so good at what he does. Like, if I'm in the wrong frame of mind, I feel like why am I even doing this? You know what I mean? Like, it's like if you did karate or punch, let's say, and then you see like a major black belt really doing it at its highest level. And
right.
If you're not in the right frame of mind, you're like, okay, maybe I should get a different, you know, but if you're feeling good and you just want to be, you're like, oh, that's cool. We're both, you know, because that guy is real. Adam Carolla is so good at recall. He's so good at, his brain
prolific. He's doing so much different stuff.
Prolific. He's got 5 or 6 books or 7 books. You know, we have a lot of his books. I mean, it's like you don't want to go in there like as a total fanboy, because then it's just, you're going to end up like that Chris Farley character where you're like, remember when you're in the Beatles? Remember when, you know, it's like, but it was man, it was so cool that they reached out to me. And by the way, you guys, thank you for listening to the podcast. If you're new and you heard me on there, thank you for checking this out. Let us know. Go to iTunes and give a little review. Apparently, that's what boosts the podcast up. So go to iTunes and
Apple any podcasts. Sort of interaction helps. Likes, follows, subscribing.
YouTube comments, just anything. All that stuff helps.
And these things cost you nothing, but they help us out a ton.
Tremendous. You know? And, so that was a lot of fun. It was great to go on there. I was on there for a couple hours, and they were, you know, they asked me to come back, and it was exciting, you know. It's funny when you start thinking about things in show business that you would be happy to do and not that happy to do. I got one for you.
Okay.
Would you rather be at a great comedy club and do a show and get paid great money, not great money, but just like good money? Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. Forget the money. I don't even know why I brought that up. So
mediocre money, but at a great
mediocre money. But you're clearing out the shirts in your closet. You're passing them out to the audience. You're building up your brand. You're like, what? Would you rather do that or a table read for a movie that potentially could be made, and then it's not really even read at a it's going to be read at the director's house. Like, it's not like at CBS or, you know,
right.
Century. Like, would you rather do that? Or what would you do?
I would do the movie thing.
You would.
Honestly, because that, if it goes, you kind of have to go off. Like, if this goes as well as it could possibly go, what could happen?
Hmm.
If you do the table read, you know, the director, they're probably going to invite a few other people that are successful actors, probably a few producers, a few money people, agents, managers, that sort of thing. And if you just knock it out of the park, that could open up a lot of opportunities for movie and TV stuff. Mm. And what I've noticed, whether you like it or not, the business has very little to do, the comedy business, with how funny you actually are. It has a lot more to do with what credits you have.
Mm.
And you can get a lot more mileage in your comedy career in doing one guest spot on a TV show than you can playing the best clubs in the country year round.
Mm.
It's just tactically, it's just the smarter thing to do. You know, doing that leads to doing the other a lot more often, I think.
That's true. They, sometimes I think I get a little burnout with people's like dreams, like come do this thing. And then you go there and it ends up not ever happening. And you're like, oh, okay. I just wasted an entire day doing this thing and sitting in traffic. And, but I think you got to like not have that attitude sometimes. Now you got to be like, okay, yeah, boss, I'm ready for another one. What? Drive down to LAX and hang out with, yeah, you just got to be like, let's just do it. Go for it.
Yeah, right? You got to shoot for the moon and assume that the opportunity is going to be a success. And even if it's not a success, if you might be the best thing that happened there.
What about this? I had a friend.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
If you go do it, maybe the whole thing is a pile of shit, but the other people that are there are in the same boat you're in, but they see you for the first time, and now you have a new fan.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan. And we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
That's true. What about this? I know a guy that took a gamble. He went to Austin, Texas to do the Kill Tony show, but not to be on the panel as a celebrity commentator, but like to be the guy that they draw the name out of the bucket and they do 1 minute and they get to do their comedy and then they get to be interviewed by Tony Hinchcliffe. Uh-huh. It's a wildly popular podcast and show, you guys. You probably know Tony from Joe Rogan and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so my buddy did it and he got chosen, right? The first time. And he's like, this is great. Uh-huh. And they, you know, and it was great that he got chosen. It put him out there a little bit. And then he decided, I'm going to do this again. And he went back two months later and he drove all the way to Texas from Florida and did not get picked. He sat in the audience the show next
year. So wait, he drove to Texas on spec, basically.
Yes, like, hey, I did it last time, maybe they'll pick me again. He even, you know, messaged Tony because they know each other, like they started out together, and I, you know, and that was an interesting thing too, where it's like, you know, after he went up the first time, it's like, you and I started together, and flash forward 16 years later, I'm up here, and you're, you know, but he said it like in a really nice way, basically, like, this is my show, I have all the success, I tour the world.
Yeah, I don't know if there's really a nice way to say that, but yeah.
And I know, because people in the comment section were like, they were like, he was just being easy on him because they started out together, but I'm like, I don't know, it was just, you know,
sounds pretty rough, but
yeah. And then my buddy, I guess, is a glutton for punishment, you know. So he went back and then he did not get chosen. And but he decided.
Are you asking if I would want to do that? No, I would not. No,
I know, I wouldn't either. And then he decided, you know what, I'm gonna stay in town for a week. I'm gonna get an Airbnb and maybe I'll get picked next Monday. So he stayed in town for an entire week and did not get chosen the following week either.
Yeah.
So that's
that just sounds like not the best business move. It's
tough, right? Because he was pretty gung-ho on the scene. Like, even though he picked himself up by his bootstraps, I guess the next day, he's like, well, I didn't get chosen, but that's okay. There's a lot of shows going on. And he was pretty, like, feeling good. like the first day or the two, and then I called him like later that week, and yeah, you could tell it was starting to set in, like, this sucks. Like, I'm doing open mics and I don't know what's happening, and you know that, yeah, that's, and you can, you know, I don't know. It was it reminded me of that, what I just told you. You do these, this could turn into something, and then when it doesn't, you're like, but that was really like, wow. Like,
well, there's a difference between this could turn into something and just being an idiot. Yeah, you know, I mean, right. I'm sorry, yes. Your friend did a really dumb thing. To, you know,
I know. I guess
driving across the country,
I know,
with not even, you know how that show works. Everyone knows how that show works. It's random. It's, you know, you're not guaranteed anything, and at best case scenario, your stuff that you worked really hard on is going to get made fun of by other comics. You know,
right?
It's. I mean, yeah.
But here's the thing: the first time he did it, it actually, he got on and went well. Somebody, you know, messaged him and was like, "Hey, I heard you say you're from Ohio. I want to set up some shows. I own 5 different venues." And so he got something out of it. Like, he actually booked like one show already. And
yeah, but yeah. That's when you go, okay, I really lucked out that, you know, they were nice to me on that first one. Coast a little bit off of that and get, you know, capitalize on it, get some other stuff out of it. But what you don't do is go back. You
yeah,
know,
and then stick around so, town for a week,
oh,
and then
they're definitely going to be nice to me again on this show that is known for not being nice to comedians. You know,
I know.
And it, like, what good does that do Tony to have you back on and be nice to you? That's not what his audience wants.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, that was just, you can't really blame Hinchcliffe or anyone in that camp for that. That's just taking what was really a blessing that first time around and going, let me see how I can make this worse, you know?
Yeah, there was, dude, I got to tell you, speaking of gambling and losing, did you hear about this? A bettor lost $1.4 million betting on the Chargers mid-game.
See,
did you hear about this?
I don't follow sports, but I can tell you right now, that's a stupid thing to do.
So I know. It's like, according... Okay, listen to this. This is from Jags Wire. Okay, this is Yahoo Sports. Okay, here we go. All right. According to Darren Rovell of Action Network, a bettor put $1.4 million on the Los Angeles Chargers to win after the team took a 27-0 lead in the second quarter. So he's like, oh man, 27-0, boom, I'm going to lay down 1.4. And guess how much money he thought he was going to win off that? $11,200. He's like, oh, I'll bet 1.4. I'll pick up an easy $11,200. And go on with my day.
So he was, that's all he was going to win.
Yeah.
If he put down.
Yeah. He's like, oh, they're winning 27-0. It's the second quarter. I'll put down $1.4 million. I'll win $11,000. And it's, what are you going to do? Long story short, they made a comeback and they went on to win 31-30. So this guy lost $1.4 million.
Wait. So which is the team that made the comeback?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Wow.
Yeah, the Chargers were winning, and so this guy's, oh, I'll bet $1.4 million. Boom, they lose. He loses all his money just so he could probably win $11,200. And to make things worse, he had to go do a set in Austin on the Kill Tony show and didn't even get picked. Okay, I made that last part up. But the first part's true. Can you imagine...
No.
It, yeah.
But I'm not an idiot, so
yeah,
it's hard for me to imagine doing that. Like,
I know. I mean,
what's funny is it's making me think of a show that I'm not a huge fan of by any stretch, but this episode kind of cracked me up. Did you ever watch Friends?
Yes.
The TV show Friends, I'm pretty sure it was this show where the girl, Phoebe, the hippie sort of girl,
yeah,
keeps like calling games. Like she's like, oh, the, you know, the Rams are going to win this game or the Bears are going to win this game. And she's got like 100% accuracy. And they're like, what is your secret? What do you know? What shows are you watching, you know, to learn about this? Because they're like, you don't follow sports. How are you doing this? And she goes, well, I just take the two mascots and decide who would win in a real fight.
Oh.
And it's like, if it's the Bears and the Bears are clearly going to beat up the Dolphins. So, you know. And I was like, in this case, you know, a Jaguar versus a guy, a Patriot, you know.
A Charger.
Yeah. A Jaguar is going to beat the hell out of a Charger, you know.
That's funny. I remember I liked the Chargers when I was a kid. Because we'd get the Sears Wish Book catalog at Christmas time.
No, wait, is a Charger, what is the mascot for the Chargers?
I think it's like a lightning bolt.
Okay, that's a tougher call.
Hold on, Charger.
A lightning bolt might kill a Jaguar.
Yeah.
But Jaguars are pretty fast. It might be able to dodge the lightning bolt, you know.
Yeah. Also, it's low to the ground, right?
Like right, yeah.
And that's what they say if there's lightning. Oh, this is cool. I'm looking up uniforms from the 1970s. So when I was a kid growing up, yeah, that was cool. That was my favorite uniform. I was like, I almost said costume. That was my favorite football costume.
Yeah. I hope one day you talk to an athlete and tell him you like his football costume.
Dude, I love your football costume.
You guys have some great costumes this year.
Yeah, because I, you know, growing up in Fresno, we didn't really have an NFL team. Although I think people that live there are fans of the 49ers because it's closer to, I don't know, maybe they just, I don't even know what I'm, I'd have to ask someone from Fresno currently, but it seems like people from Fresno are into the 49ers. That's what it seems like. But
the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, because it's a couple hours away. So, but I don't know.
I'll tell you, I don't know a whole lot about sports. But I lived in Colorado. Huge, huge Denver Bronco fans there, obviously. But to the point where they were considered like the most rabid fans of football in the world.
Yeah.
And I didn't care about any of it. But a lot of my friends, and they were like, you got to watch the Super Bowl. John Elway's going to win the Super Bowl. They were saying it like he was going to do it by himself. John Elway was just going to go win the Super Bowl, and everyone in Colorado knew it. They were like, he's got to win. I was like, fine. And so I went to my brother's movie theater where they were having like a Super Bowl party for the staff. And so I go, and I was like, I'm finally going to watch a football game. And a guy did single-handedly win the Super Bowl, but it was not John Elway. It was Joe Montana of the San Francisco 49ers.
Nice.
He just annihilated them. It was embarrassing. I was embarrassed for everyone because they were all dressed up in their Bronco gear and stuff.
I love that.
And I'm like, it's my first time. I'm like, is it normally this bad, the first half? Where a guy, like, the quarterback by himself has scored 3,000 points against our
team. Dude, the energy changes, doesn't it? Doesn't the energy change?
No, it's not normally like this. Why don't you just shut up? Just eat nachos and cry like the rest of us. And then, like, in the second half, it got so bad. He beat them so humiliatingly.
Yeah.
That they called him out, like, out of mercy. They were like, Joe, you can stop throwing the football now. And like towards the end of the third quarter, they were like, why don't you rest and we'll let the rookie quarterback come in and finish off, basically. And even that guy got a bunch of points on him. And it was like, oh, this is one of the saddest things I've ever seen. And there were like streamers up and like Go Broncos and all this stuff in the break room. And I was like, oh, man, this is rough.
I love that when the energy changes, like before everyone's like, he's a jolly good fellow. They're all excited and they got the pizzas on the way and we're having a good time. Because I remember I was at a hotel once and these guys were in the lobby and the bar there, the bar down there near the hotel lobby. Same thing, energy, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, guys, hope you guys win. And I remember I went and got something to eat and I come back and it was quiet and it got, it was just like sad. And I was like thinking to myself, like, man, I'm glad I'm not into football, because I would hate to go from that happy joy feeling of camaraderie and brotherhood and pizza and we're going to have a good time to like, these guys are just sulking, looking on the couch. By the way, I looked up the score.
And you know some of them like lost real money on it.
Oh, you're like, right. Yeah, I didn't even think about the money. I just thought, and you're right, they they also kind of look like they lost because they're wearing the uniforms.
Right.
They're wearing these costumes.
When he left the field.
Yeah.
The commentator goes, well, Joe Montana has played a hell of a game. I guess he's going to go put his arm back in the velvet case that it belongs in now. It's like, oh, God.
Dude, I looked at that score. If it's the same game, it looks like it happened around 1990 Super Bowl. And it said the 49ers 55, Broncos 10.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot.
And like
that's
you said,
a lot of
and
points.
They if you know, if your memory serves you correct and they took them out of the, I mean, they could have just done that. They could have kept going. They could have got 60s, 70s, 80s. I mean, who knows how high.
They might have gotten into the hundreds.
You 120 know? To 10.
And like at that time, everyone was real big on John Elway in Colorado because he would do these comebacks. And again, I didn't follow the sport, so I would have them explain it to me, and they're like, the Broncos lost, you know, 85 to 57. But it would have been a lot worse if Elway hadn't mounted a comeback. But they still lost? Yeah, they lost, but it would have been much worse. But why didn't he just play well from the beginning? Not have to do a comeback.
I love it when people come up with, hey, speaking of another loser, I want to read this story to you. You see this? prosecutors, I believe his name is Brian Walsh, Googled ways to dispose of a body.
He was a prosecutor and he did that?
No, the prosecutors are saying that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
I'm reading a headline, so sorry. You read about that, the guy that had the Google searches?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to read this. Check this out, you guys. Guy in Massachusetts, apparently... Investigators honed in on searches between December 27th, days before Anna's disappearance, his wife, to January 3rd and 4th, when investigators say they began to notice Walsh had cleaned the back of his car. Okay, so it starts out, December 27th, he Googles, what's the best state to divorce for a man?
Okay, that's legitimate, that's...
Yeah,
a fair question.
He should have just left it at that, because January 1st, it says the couple went to bed around 1:30 after celebrating the new year, Walsh told investigators per CNN. He said Anna left later that morning to catch a flight to Washington, D.C. to work. She never boarded the plane.
Okay.
All right, here comes the Google searches. 4:55 a.m. How long before a body starts to smell?
Now, that's just anyone... If you've been up all night watching CSI or whatever,
yeah,
you get curious. That's fine.
You're like, you're asleep and you pop up at 4:55. You're like, all right, let me start my day out. All right, how long before your body starts to smell? Maybe he's talking about himself. Like, I need to take a shower, deodorant, brush my teeth.
Sure.
Boom.
You know.
4:58. How to stop a body from decomposing.
Okay. That's a little suspicious. But, you know, maybe a pet died recently.
Yeah, we don't know. Want
to do some taxidermy.
Yeah, we don't know what kind of body. You know. 5:47. Yeah, I like this. It's almost like you're his lawyer. So this is a mock trial. All right. Okay. 5:47, 1 minute later. So basically, he looked up something at 4:58, didn't get his result. Boom, 1 minute later, he types in. Actually, these are out of order. Oh, no. Oh, an hour goes by. 59 minutes go by. 5:47, 10 ways to dispose a dead body if you really need to.
Yeah, because sometimes you don't really need to.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can let it hang out for a while. But other times you want to get rid of a body quick. He's just trying to save time. He's planning his day. He's just planning the whole day.
6:25 a.m. How long for someone to be missing to inherit?
Okay. That's, you know... devil's advocate on this. His wife goes missing. He's going to need to know there's funeral costs, there's, you know, hiring private investigators, stuff like that. All of that stuff's going to cost money. So he's going to need to be reimbursed if, hopefully, knock on wood, they find her, you know?
6:34 a.m. Can you throw away body parts?
Yeah, that's just a stupid thing to Google.
9:29. I feel like his own, like, you're, if you're his lawyer, you're starting to give up right here.
Yeah, that's all right. Like, yeah, it's just a dumb, you know, you can't throw away body parts.
9:29 a.m. What does formaldehyde do?
Yeah, that looks bad.
9:34 a.m. How long does DNA last?
Yeah, he's going to need to get a different lawyer.
9:59. Can identification be made on partial remains?
Yeah, I'm going to.
11:34 a.m. Dismemberment and the best ways to dispose of a body. 11:44. How to clean blood from a wooden floor. What have you got to say, defender?
I've got to say that you can catch me in Austin. I'm going to be performing, I think, on the Kill Tony show. I'm going to drive out to Austin instead of representing this man.
11:56 a.m.
Much better over there.
Luminol to detect blood. 1:08 p.m. What happens when you put body parts in ammonia? 1:21 p.m. Is it better to put crime scene clothes away or wash them? Next day, January 2nd. Your client went to Home Depot and bought $450 worth of supplies, such as mops, tarps, hatchets, and baking soda. 12:45, hacksaw, best tool to dismember. 1:10, can you be charged with murder without a body? 1:14, can you identify a body with broken teeth? January 3rd. 1:02, what happens to hair on a dead body? 1:13, what is the rate of decomposition of a body found in plastic bag compared to being on the surface in the woods? 1:20 p.m., can baking soda mask or make a body smell good?
These are all important questions.
Yes, that was
that was crazy.
Wow. Well, you know,
that guy is toast.
Yes.
I can't even imagine.
He should have Googled how to erase Google questions.
Yeah.
How to set up a VPN or whatever they call it. I always hear those commercials. But yeah, I think all that stuff he should.
It's one of those things though that it's like, let's say you get all those results. Doesn't that, maybe it's just that I'm too lazy, but doesn't that all sound like so much more work than trying to make it work with your partner?
Yes.
Or getting counseling or, 100%, you know,
because you're thinking like a sane person. Yes. I mean, even if you just stuck with the December 27th thing, like what state is best to divorce in or something, just work it out somehow, like take a break, go for a walk. It's insane.
See, that's the thing that you know, probably should be addressed, but whatever results he got for what state is best to get a divorce in, he thought those results were so bleak that he Googled all that other stuff.
Oh, gosh, it was gruesome. And I don't usually read stuff like that, but it's just like, this is so out there and so, like, insane where I was like, wow, let's, you know, it's just,
Did he murder her or is she still missing or what happened?
I haven't followed up. I just saw those Google questions and I'm like, dude, it's a done deal. Come on. What are you doing, guy? Especially how detailed he got. Like, it's disgusting. Yeah. There was a thing that happened here locally on the news that my wife and I, you know, it's dark humor. You don't, you know, you got to laugh. Otherwise you'll cry. Right. And there was a guy who had, he murdered his wife, but he pretended he didn't and was part of the search party. And he even printed out photos of her and stapled them around the neighborhood. And my wife was like, see, he didn't even use a good picture. Like, that was his final dig. You know, And so, you know, my wife made a little joke. She's like, you better never do that to me. I said, murder me? No, post ugly photos of me. You better, like, you know.
If you murder me, you better use the best photo.
Okay, honey, let's go to glamour shots right now. No, but there's another guy on the news I once saw.
Darren's posting pictures of his wife in a wine glass.
Exactly. Beautiful. Yeah, they're all like filters, the best filter you could find.
Real classy.
He's classy. Yeah, he went. There was a guy that I remember. This was on the news. They asked him a question. Your wife is missing, And he gave an answer, and then cut to my wife goes, that doesn't sound right. And then I want to say like a year went by. Boom, the guy gets arrested. And my wife goes, that's the guy. I told you that didn't sound right. Because they asked, check this out. They go, whatever, we'll call him Bob. Bob, your wife's been missing. How do you feel about that? And he said, it's like a fairy tale.
Oh, wow.
He meant to say, it's like a nightmare. But he said, it's like a fairy tale.
It's like a fairy tale.
When he said it's like a fairy tale, it's like, dude, that's...
Yeah.
You should have said nightmare. Don't. Yeah, that was a huge Freudian slip. But
it's like a fairy tale.
Hey, one more thing. Let's end on something a little bit more positive. You know, you told
me... booked on Kill Tony?
Exactly. Well, I'm going to drive there. You want to carpool with me there? We'll go there and sit in the audience, and maybe you'll draw our name, and we'll get to 1 minute.
No. God, no.
God, can you imagine? I know that would be my nightmare. Like, would that be your nightmare or fairy tale?
A little of both.
He would be like, Mike, you nightmare. Started way before me, but yet
right, I'm
perched up here and you're down there. Like, how did that?
You are in Austin, so.
Yeah, it's crazy show business, but he's he's a hard worker, and it is a very entertaining show. I've listened to it. It's he's got something going on. But no, I got
nothing against Tony at all. I got a big problem with your friend driving to Texas.
Yeah, I guess he did it once and was like, "Hey, that went well." I mean, even the first time he did it, the audience was split. You know, like
count your blessings that it went well and move on.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, I'm going to do the Gong Show twice. You know,
exactly. Exactly.
I wouldn't do that.
You do it once. You escape by not getting gonged. Just leave it alone. Don't be like, this is my new thing. I'm gonna be a regular on the. Yeah. Don't do that.
I'm gonna be the toast of the Gong Show. Yeah. No, you're not.
should we talk about Jack Benny now or save it for next time?
Oh, we can talk about him. Yeah,
oh, okay, dude. I'll keep it brief. You said, man, you told me about Jack Benny on the last episode about his timing and. I've been looking, I looked him up, and there was a documentary that CBS put out, and I found it. Came out like the year after his passing. He was born in 18, if my memory serves me right, born in 1894, passed away in 1973. Guy was amazing, man. His timing was impeccable. The way I got to tell you, after watching that documentary and seeing some clips, I did a show the next night, and I felt like my show was a lot better because I watched Jack Benny. I think if there's any performers out there, continue to watch people that came before you because we stand on the shoulders of giants.
His body language, his use of his face.
Exactly. It's just like himself, watching
not being afraid to make fun of himself, you know.
Reminding me to hold for laughs. That's the one thing. I feel good at what I do, but like it made me go a little further. Like if I hold a laugh for 7 seconds, let me hold it for 12. I'm telling you, because whatever you do, if you see somebody from the past that was great at it, look at, like, I think we talked about that line where the guy, one of his gags was he's known for being a cheapskate. And he'd be like, and they did this little sketch, your money or your life. And then he just had that look. And I guess he would get huge laughs off one word. And he'd be like, well, and the crowd's like laughing. And then the guy repeats it. Like he goes, come on, buddy. Hey, pal, what are you waiting for? And then he said something like, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking it over.
I'm thinking it over. And it was just like so funny. He did a routine with Mel Blanc. You know, they go back and forth. That was great.
On his show, you know, it was before the civil rights movement really took off when his show started. But he had the guy who played Rochester.
Oh, yeah.
Who was like his butler, basically. And they would do a thing that was pretty brilliant where it's like, okay, this guy is playing a kind of rich guy who's real cheap and everything. And he has all these kind of get-rich-quick schemes and stuff like that. And his butler was actually much smarter than he was and kept him out of a lot of trouble and stuff like that. And it was this very subversive message of, like, no, this guy is not just his equal, but he's actually smarter than him in a lot of ways. And it was a very cool thing that they were putting that out in like the mid 50s and early 60s, you know.
I was watching and another character, you know, that I don't know the guy's name, but we've all heard that voice where the guy is like, yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Like that voice came from that show, like his shows. And there was a scene where he's in the department store and he goes, you're the floor manager now. And Jack Benny says, you're the floor manager now. And the guy goes, you know, almost like, how did you become the floor manager of Macy's or whatever the department store is? And the guy goes, my father owns the department store.
Yeah.
And he goes, working your way up, I see. Actually, I started as president. And this was like from the 50s. This is so long. And it was like, it made me laugh. I'm like, they wrote this thing like 73 years ago. And it's like hilarious. Like, I started as president. I'm working my way down. You know, it's like, come on.
Right. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that guy was great. I remember... we saw him on some show. Me and Steve Simone were watching TV, and he goes, it's the pervert.
Yeah.
I never really thought of it, but I guess that guy is. He's the town pervert, you know? Yes.
Yes.
Just way too excited about everything.
I know. Mike, this is...
I think if that hadn't happened, we probably wouldn't have gotten, like... the Addams Family, you know, where it's like, oh, that little weirdo is kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know, and there, what if we had a whole show of weirdos, you know, and the Munsters and that kind of thing, you know.
Love that stuff, man. I went down memory lane the other day. I saw some kind of fight at the airport, and then I was on the internet, I don't know, you know, you see like the Waffle House fight and people picking stuff up and throw it, and you're just like, what's going on with society? And I was like, you know, let me look at something. And I looked up some of those old instructional videos that we used to watch from in school, and then a lot of those were from the 50s. And there was I found this whole playlist of like those kind of instructional videos from the 1950s, and nobody had made a parody out of them. They weren't trying to be funny. They were the actual ones, and they were like, How to have a better personality. And it was like,
yeah,
you know, and they showed the little boy, you know, and he's like, gee, mom, can I borrow the car? I really need the car so bad, ma. Come on. And his mom is setting up the table and getting ready for dinner. And he's being a little bit rude. And she's like, Charles, that's the third time you've asked me. And I'm telling you, no, now that's the last I want to hear of it. And then they start and they said, what could Charles have done different to make his personality better?
Right.
And then they show him like take two. Now he's helping his mother set the table and he's being a lot more pleasant. And of course, a few people are like, he's just being manipulative. But they're like, no, you're getting along with people. You're being kinder. Yeah. You're also
pulling your weight a little bit.
Exactly. You're pulling your weight. And then he's like, gee, mom, I would really like to borrow the car. I know you and dad are going to go to the movies. Maybe I could drop you off first and I can take the car to go to the prom, and I could be done. And she's like, you know what, Charles, you've been really helping out around lately. And that sounds like a great plan. Let's ask your father, you know, or whatever, you know. And it was like, boom. And they go, your personality is how you treat other people, but also how you react. Because they showed some, like his big sister being kind of mean to him. And then the second time he kind of played along with her and was nicer. And then all of a sudden now she was, you know. It was interesting just watching these old school tapes that are like, or old school films.
Say what you want about them, but like in the 80s or, you know, 70s, stuff like that had been deemed uncool, you know? So they kind of stopped doing it for the most part. They had like some stuff like that, but nobody really cared about it. But there were a lot of things that, like, when you're a kid growing up, you wish someone would have told you different stuff like that, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know? Or, like, not just you, but, like, the smelly kid in the class. It's like, don't be like Johnny. Johnny never washes his hands, and now he's sick all the time, and totally. Nobody likes it, you know?
He's got, it's like, dirt under his finger. Yeah, you want to, like...
It's like, yeah, I'll take one for the team and sit through this 10-minute movie if it'll get my buddy Jimmy to shower. You know,
I know. That's why I kind of get a kick out of like if I'm like holding a door open for someone. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna yeah. get there a little bit. Like the other day I was walking and this lady, I could tell she was, we're both going to enter the same door. And I open the door and I wait the 5 seconds. She comes, she goes, thank you. She said, thank you. She didn't, you know, every now and then you do that and the person just walks right through, you know, like, yeah. like, you know, like F you, you're, you know, or whatever. But I still, yeah, even then. For, yeah.
Yeah.
Even then,
every once in a while, you get someone. I can get my own door or whatever.
Okay. Right, but it goes back to that personality video. It's how do you react? It's like I'm like, okay, that's, yeah. that's on them. I, you know, I did something that made yeah. me feel good by opening a door for someone. I don't know, little things like that, right? Those little gestures that we can easily do for other. Like if somebody wants to merge, I'm like, go ahead, go. You know,
yeah.
As opposed to the person who's like, I'm not letting anyone in. You know,
right? I'm going 70 miles an hour in the entry lane.
Yeah, I know. All right, buddy. Well, I got to get out there, man. That sun is burning hot now. It looks like hot for January, but like,
yeah,
I want to get a little vitamin.
Go explore the world.
I know. Yeah, I told you that, right? I go, sometimes I like to nap with the next to my, and I leave a lamp on because it makes me feel like I'm, as a ginger, it makes me feel like I'm laying out at the beach. Like that's just because I can't really lay out at the beach. I'll get sunburned like a lobster. But I can go to my bedroom and turn the lamp on and close my eyes and let that yellow light
throw some sand in my face.
Yeah, put ocean waves
I'm at
on.
The beach.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Hey, have a good one, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, you too.
You got All right, it. Bye-bye. All right. And that was Mike Black. Hope you guys had a great day. And like we said, if any kind of review you can give, 5 stars, leave comments, thumbs up, share the link, tell a friend. It helps. You guys have a great day, and we'll see you soon. Darren Carter, party starter. Go and start that party on your own. Start that party.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter. We all know he's the party starter, so if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to The Pocket Party.